Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. And let me ask you a question as we return to the book of Job, with God speaking to Job. Here's the question. Have you ever gone fishing? Have you grabbed your bait and a fishing pole and launched out into the water in a boat, thrown your line overboard and waited for a fish to bite? It is summertime now, and this is a common activity, a hobby. Maybe you are a professional fisherman or fisherwoman. Here's where I'm at. I have never done it. Someday I would not mind giving it a try. I do like being outside, and I love the water. But I am not a fisherman. Maybe I do not have the patience for it. Maybe you do. Anyone out there like to fish? Drop me a line. Pun intended, drop me a line and let me know. If you missed the little joke there, you definitely are not into fishing. I can translate it this way. Write to me and tell me you fish. Anyway, as we're going to see, God's going to ask Job a great question related to fishing. That's coming up right after I remind you where we are in the book of Job. We're in what I have outlined as Act 3, Scene 1. I think we'll have time today to get into Scene 2 as well. This covers Job chapters 38 to 42. Job is 42 chapters in length, and we've covered the entire book, obviously being selective due to time constraints and the discernment of the Holy Spirit. What to teach and what to leave for another time. As we near the end, I am interested in how this has benefited you. What have you learned? Perhaps what questions have been answered? And/or what questions has this raised for you? Are you wrestling with something the book of Job has drawn to your attention? Maybe you are growing closely to God at this time in your life, and our study has helped you in this regard. Would you be willing to write me a brief email or letter and give me some feedback? I'll be grateful if you will. The email is mark@godisministry.org. That's Mark with a K at godisministry.org. And the post office box is God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. You can always get in touch with me through my website. I'd love to hear what you think. And now we come to Job chapter 41, and God is still speaking. As I said way back in the introduction to this study, God speaks for the longest uninterrupted time in the Bible right here. I am personally mesmerized by this. God is talking. God is communicating. God is. Don't you find this fascinating? The God who created this whole wide world and every creature in it, as discussed yesterday, then speaks to us. I pray we will never tire of the wonder of God who reveals himself to us in his words. This is why the Bible is the best book I own, and the others are not even close. The Bible, this is how God speaks to us, and let's get into the Word now, picking it up as God continues his monologue by introducing Leviathan. And it is common for Bible students to ask, what is this Leviathan? And so in case you wondered, let me speak briefly to this. God chose this creature to speak again to Job about God's sovereignty. God's in charge over all things, even a beast such as this. I believe the Leviathan is either a crocodile, such as we have today, or a marine dinosaur, that is, a dinosaur who lived in the water. Dr. Lawson, in his commentary, tells us, quote, Leviathan is the transliteration of a Hebrew word that means sea monster or sea creature, unquote. Whatever this beast was, who would Job be to think he could control Leviathan? Listen to Job 41, verse 1. And remember, this is Holy God speaking to Job. Job 41, verse 1. Can you draw out Leviathan with a fishhook, or press down his tongue with a cord? A simple fishhook or a cord on that beast, that is completely ineffective. God is the best teacher. Here, he uses the sea monster as an analogy to color in the lines of Job's understanding of how great God is. The only one who can go fishing and catch Leviathan, pulling the beast out of the water and into the boat, is God. Again, this shows how big God is and how small Job is. And it calls into question, who does Job think he is to put God on trial in his life? What a picture. And this goes on in chapter 41 so that you have the full effect of God's monologue. Sit back in your seat and just listen as I read Job chapter 41 verses 1 through 10. God is animated in his use of Leviathan to make a point to his servant Job, and Job just listened, ears pinned back. He cannot say anything. This is Job 41, verses 1 through 10. Can you draw out Leviathan with a fishhook, or press down his tongue with a cord? Can you put a rope in his nose or pierce his jaw with a hook? Will he make any supplications to you? Or will he speak to you soft words? Will he make a covenant with you? Will you take him for a servant forever? Will you play with him as with a bird? Or will you bind him for your maidens? Will the traders bargain over him? Will they divide him among the merchants? Can you fill his skin with harpoons or his head with fishing spears? Lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. You will not do it again. Behold, your expectation is false. Will you be laid low even at the sight of him? No one is so fierce that he dares to arouse him. Who then is he that can stand before me? God's words are full of such power and authority, aren't they? Verses 8 and 9 are great. Verse 8, lay your hand on him. Remember the battle. You will not do it again. Like a child's hand that grazes the hot stovetop, Junior won't do that again. The memory is too painful. Job, the battle this sea beast Leviathan will put you in, you're not going to do that again. You'll remember this fish. Verse 9, behold, your expectation is false. Will you be laid low even at the sight of him? False expectations. We all have them, and they get us in trouble with God. All these questions from God, using the imagery of Leviathan, devastate the pride in Job. And then we come to verse 11, where God makes this profound concluding statement. Look down at your Bible with me if you can. At Job chapter 41, verse 11, God says, who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. In Job 41, verse 11, God says, who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. I encourage you to highlight that in your Bible because God is making a statement here about his sovereignty that we are about to discuss. We are going to talk about the sovereignty of God, but not just yet. What I want to do now is point out to you that the Apostle Paul, way over in the New Testament book of Romans, quotes God here in Job chapter 41 at verse 11. And Paul uses the word of the Lord in the middle of the definitive doxology in the entire Bible, in my humble opinion. I want you to catch this cross-reference between the Testaments. So let me read how Paul the Apostle ends his three-chapter masterful teaching on the purposes of Israel and God's past, present, and future plans. He writes about this in Romans chapters 9 through 11 and then ends with this. I'm reading Romans chapter 11 verses 33 through 36. Oh, the depth of the riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor? Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. That was Romans 11, verses 33 to 36, and you've heard me read that before, and you will again. That's quite the doxology, isn't it? A doxology is a hymn of praise and glory for God. And this is how Paul ends his significant teaching on God and Israel. For today and our journey through the end of the book of Job, notice that the apostle quotes God in verse 35. Or who has first given to him that it might be paid back to him again? And the answer to this question for both Job and Paul, and for us, is no one. No one has given anything to God that God should pay it back to him or her. We cannot give anything to God unless we have first received something from God. We have nothing to offer him independent of him. God is self-existent. He doesn't need anything from us. In the Romans context, God owes the Jew nothing, and God owes the Gentile nothing. In Job's context and in ours, God owes us nothing. That is the best response we have to the sovereignty of God, as we shall see. God does what he pleases, and we must accept his will. You might be thinking, well, say more, Swallow. Where are you headed with this thought? I'll tell you what, if you stay tuned, I will say more. This is a way to whet your appetite. But returning now to Job 41, the message is clear. God is in charge, and Job is simply, humbly God's servant. What God has done is to rip the pride right out of the heart of Job. And now the curtain falls on Act 3, Scene 1. We head out to the lobby for one final intermission. Tomorrow, when we return to our seats, the curtain will open on Act 3, Scene 2. This is the final scene in this real-life drama. It's hard to believe that we're already here, but we are. So join me tomorrow as we continue to discover who God is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. Mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.